Welcome to another edition of Money Matters. My name is Mark Cunaberti. Today's show, number 329, entitled More Irrational Exuberance. Remember, before we begin, discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. And any indices or otherwise indexes that I might mention are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. And past performance is no guarantee of future results, of course. Remember, investing involves risk, and depending on the types of investments, there may be varying degrees of risk. The views expressed are my opinions only. They may not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, members, or underwriters. And remember, Money Matters is about money. As money does matter, it matters money affects us all in some way or another, whether we have a lot of it or a little of it. It controls our economy, our country, our planet, and in some way or another controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money or lack of it or abundance of it. It's about our lives and livelihood. In short, this show, Money Matters, is about you. So what do I mean by more irrational exuberance? Well, there ain't better two examples. There are not better two examples than the meme stocks and Bitcoin. Did you know that Bitcoin is the percentage-wise, the highest yielding bubble, the bubble with the most craziness, the most increase of stock price or asset price that we've ever seen? Tulip bulb mania in Holland in the 1600s. They were betting on tulip bulbs, and one tulip bulb could buy you a house on the river on its top, its highest level. Yeah, tulip bulbs, go figure. And then it collapsed, of course. And so they all have this run up where the early money makes a lot of money, and then you have a spike at the end, and everybody tells their friends that they're making money, and gobs of money are being made, and then it all collapses in a ball. Not like a Ponzi scheme, that's a little bit different, but it's a mania, that's what it is. And so when we look at the chart of Bitcoin, it comes out at what, a couple of pennies or whatever it was. Went to 60,000, the increase percentage-wise is off the charts. And I myself, and probably you, know somebody that's made a fortune in Bitcoin. And I'm not talking about a little bit, I'm talking about a lot. But remember, for every winner in Bitcoin, there is a loser. So before we get on to Bitcoin, I wanted to talk about the other sign of irrational exuberance called the meme stocks. Now, those of you that use a phone, iPhone, or go on the web, you know a meme is the little, like, picture that people put on their messages and replies that kind of shows what they're thinking by showing you a photograph. So the meme stocks refer to a group of stocks that are driven higher by members of a variety of web pages. Now, the most common are the Reddit platforms, where they have a site called Wall Street Bets. Now, I am not recommending the sites Wall Street Bets or Reddit. In fact, I would say be very, very careful there. But these websites have a lot of bloggers, and when they get together and everybody reads this stuff, they target a stock and they start buying. Well, the meme stocks are on fire again. Now, if you remember these, my last couple of articles ago and mentioned on the show was an article that I entitled The Game That Is GameStop. The meme stocks refer to a group of stocks thought to be driven by mostly novice day traders, spurred on by the common thread of these social internet bloggings. Now, GameStop was selling games on discs, and of course, people are now downloading their games, and so GameStop had reportedly some trouble and was headed for the garbage bin. Specifically, but not limited to Reddit and Wall Street Bets, they targeted GameStop because GameStop was a favorite of short sellers on Wall Street. Now, short sellers are usually big firms, hedge funds, and big traders that will bet a stock goes down. instead of going up, like most of you all do. When the stock goes down, they make money. And when the stock goes up, they lose money. So the boys and girls on Reddit and Wall Street Bets knew that there was a big group of people that were betting the stocks went down. So they all kind of mentioned that, hey, let's all buy this stock and we'll drive it up. And they did. They drove it from 10 to, I don't know where it went, a couple $100. And the losses to some of these Wall Street firms were billions. So we called those the meme stocks. They also targeted some other stocks. AMC Entertainment, the movie theaters that we used to go to. They targeted that. So anyway, the visitor to these and other social media sites communicate with others on the page. And I liken it to a stampeding herd of buffalo. Once they get started, the herd start buying the stock flavor of the day in hopes of, one, hurting the people that are shorting the stock, and two, making money in the process. Now, I don't know if they came after GameStop particularly because they all play video games and they like the company. But in any case, it was headed for the garbage bin. I don't think anybody would question that because they didn't change. They just kept selling their games on discs. And the Reddit boys and girls got on there and drove it up and caused billions and billions of dollars worth of losses to the hedge funds. This meme trading is a new phenomenon in the world of stock trading. Perhaps you've heard it, and if you haven't, you will, because this week was off the charts again, even worse. The meme group, however, is not a concerted group at all. They don't know each other for the most part because they're all just visiting a web page like you don't know everybody on Facebook, right? It's just a whole bunch of people, unrelated by blood or otherwise. They're all moving without a single directive, and nobody, no one person says, do this. But they move in mass nonetheless when a lot of people get together on these sites. Their unstated but rumored purpose, as I mentioned, was to burn Wall Street traders who bet against certain stocks and make lots of money in the process. Called short sellers, not the mem people, but the sellers of the stock on Wall Street that are betting the stocks go down. They're called short sellers. The understanding of how the mechanics of how Wall Street traders bet against the stock can be elusive, and I don't think I'm going to get into that today. It could take up a whole show. To keep things simple, just know that Wall Street firms often bet against the stock, hoping it will go down and make money in the process. Now, until just a few months ago when these mem stocks started hitting the news wires, there was no one group that really could compete with larger firms if they bet against the stock. I mean, in other words, traders could take the opposite bet, and hedge funds did and will take positions on the long side, which means betting the stock goes up instead of down. But there's no one group, or there wasn't any group large enough that could legally pressure a stock in one direction or the other. Remember, it's illegal to be a concerted group and purposely manipulate a stock up or down by buying or selling massive amounts or by rumor. But if a firm did happen to buy a lot of it, it could move a larger firm, could move a stock. And you see that. Somebody comes out and recommends a stock and it moves positively. So, in any case, enter the meme traders, okay? Not really an organized group. The sheer numbers of readers and bloggers who had some money and attended the same social media pages would all center around a stock or two, and they'd start to buy the stock that Wall Street groups or groups had bet against. With millions of bloggers all pointed in the same direction, they initially started buying GameStop and AMC Entertainment. There are other meme targets as well. Driving these stocks up many times over, the losses to some professionals were massive. As their losses mount, because of the logistics of how the bet is unwound, these firms were forced to buy the very stock they bet would go down. So what happens is if they bet a stock goes down and it starts to go up, and because of the mechanics of how they have to get out of the trade, they have to buy it back, which actually we call a short squeeze, and that just drives the stock even higher. The novelty here was that the meme group was widespread. There was a lot of them. They had massive buying power due to their sheer numbers. And since they are only related through the web, the laws concerning illegal stock manipulation by a concerted group did not apply. So the MEMS had driven GameStop way, 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 way up, and AMC Entertainment way, way, way up, but GameStop held the record as far as how far it went. Well, the MEM buyers were semi-quiet for a week, and the news media and Washington regulators dabbled in discussions about the strange new happening and the concern, figuring out what to do. That was until last week, and even more this week, when the MEM tsunami hit again, and this time GameStop began another ascent, but AMC took top honors this time around as it rocketed up from like 12 to 13 to today, as I'm making this show, over 70. I don't know where it'll end up, but I mean, really. It was up double today, 100%, climbing upwards of 30% or more in a 24-hour period last week, and as I said, it had tripled in a few days. Now it's, what, gone up 700-800%. So there's also a handful of other stocks that are rumored to be on the hit list of the MEMS. They are Bed Bath & Beyond, Beyond Meat. They are BlackBerry and some cannabis grower, and BlackBerry, the old maker of the Palm Pilot. Remember, this is not a recommendation to buy or sell any of these stocks by any means. These things are like crack, so you can lose a lot of money in a real quick amount of time. Now, the Wall Street crowd, the big traders on Wall Street, at least some of them, are starting to cry foul. In other words, they shouldn't be allowed to do this. But the problem is that these people don't know each other. So there's really no stopping them. It's like getting out on a loudspeaker, and five guys go out on a loudspeaker and go to a football game and said, buy the stock. But in any case, there's really no way to reel them in. I can't see. I think Jim Cramer of CNBC agrees. There's really nothing wrong being done here, as they're not a group. The Washington loudmouths, you know who they are, the ones that shoot off their mouth in, as your elected politicians, they're split on this thing. The typical for the people, you know, the for the people authorities, for the people elected officials, you know who they are. They're cheering the MEMS. They're cheering these traders, the ones who are driving the stock up against Wall Street, saying that stick it to Wall Street. You know, of course, you know who these elected officials are. But the money is flowing from the traders and hedge funds that are the short sellers. And, of course, those are bending the ears of some politicians who are susceptible to Wall Street money. After all, money and politics do go together on occasion, right? So we've got this dichotomy here. To me, it all speaks of just another sign of excessive froth and speculation in the overall markets. And we've talked about that before, that this market is just, you know, coupled with the run-up mania in Bitcoin, and now we see this. I mean, it's fun to watch. One reason for that I'm amused is that the amount of money that's sloshing around in this is just off the charts. I mean, billions and billions of dollars are going in and out of securities within minutes. I mean, I saw AMC Entertainment double and then double again, almost double again, inside of an hour or two. So it was just crazy. It's a circus. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's a circus with billions of dollars being played here. So it's funny that Wall Street professionals, who normally wouldn't follow a Facebook type of platform, let alone trade on something like this, they're analyzing the momentum of these massive moves, and they're trading on the coattails of the MEM stocks, adding that much more volatility to the action. When Wall Street dips their toes into these things, it can get really volatile, because you've got really high power money coming in here, and they're in and out of these things and take no prisoners. So there is a lot of money going around right now in these things. No one knows where this will end up. I don't know if it'll be the new paradigm in the markets or just fade into oblivion. One thing is for sure, however, for now the MEMS traders have everyone's attention. I think if we see stocks triple and quadruple in a day and fall in half the next, I think you're going to see some Wall Street regulations on some of this stuff. I don't know how they would do that. You can't really stop a stock from doing one thing or another. I guess the authorities of the SEC could, but there's going to be a lot of discussion because you've got people on both sides of the coin here. Okay, we're going to talk about Bitcoin in just a minute. We'll be right back with this edition of Money Matters. Welcome back to this edition of Money Matters. My name is Mark Cunabrudi. Okay, so we were talking about the irrational exuberance of the markets, and we talked about the MEM stocks a little bit earlier in the show. But I do want to talk about Bitcoin. That's very popular with people, and I get asked about it a lot. However, the MEM stocks, as far as increases, have pretty much made the news this week as Bitcoin has, you know, been decimated per se. But with the explosion in both an investor interest and price action in Bitcoin, or cryptocurrencies as I like to call them, it's a hot topic. I get asked about it all the time. I don't think the MEM stocks are as widespread among retail traders. It will be. Maybe not as much as Bitcoin, but definitely the MEM trading stocks are out there. But originally conceived as an alternative currency, Bitcoin was the first digital money to make its debut in 2009. Remember 2009, that long ago. Since then, over 4,000 different cyber coins have hit the market. I even have a friend of mine that owns a software company, and he made a cyber coin. The allure is that it reportedly cannot be manipulated or eliminated by any one person, entity, or government. And, of course, people are making a lot of money on it, and that will draw people in no matter what. Created and stored in cyberspace, the argument appears to be that no one can get at it, no government. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Since their creation, stories of overnight millionaires abound, and I'm hearing more of these rags of riches to stories every day, and it's not just about making a few bucks. If what I am told is to be believed, ungodly sums of money have been made for more than a few of my acquaintances. I have to admit, I can't say I fully understand how crypto works. I guess many people who trade it don't really know as well. But I can say that this has all the trappings of a mania, much like the MEM stocks we just talked about. From the buzz around town to the quick profits by the inexperienced trader to the price charts and right down to this to the story that this time it's different, it reeks of a mania. And now perhaps the last sad chapters of manias, they fall down, and now maybe we're seeing that in crypto. I could show you a couple articles that say crypto's going to zero, but I could show you other ones that say it's going to $1 million a coin, so who knows, right? I have issues with crypto. I own a small amount of it through a Wall Street vehicle, and I don't use any of the phone apps that most people use. The stories of investors losing passwords or hacked apps, resulting in absconded funds, abound. One investor profile in Wall Street, in a Wall Street article, was locked out of $100 million worth of Bitcoin and only had two chances left to remember his 132-character password before losing his fortune into the black hole of cyberspace. And no, there's no one you can call. Once it's locked, it's essentially gone. I mean, it's still there, but nobody can get to it. Besides the too-good-to-be-true aspects of all the stories and overnight zillionaires, Cybercoin will never, at least in its current form, function as a valid currency, in my opinion. Currencies must possess a variety of characteristics, of which one of the most important is a store of value. That means if you take a currency for something real, like something a good or a service, you must be sure the currency you took maintains the value it had when you took it. Think Mexican peso. No problem, you say? It'll eventually, if not overnight, skyrocket in price? Well, not in the last 2-3 weeks, right? A skyrocketing price is not a store of value. A store of value must be in both directions, both up and down, which means both the buyer and the seller must not lose value over the time of the transaction. Simply put, for every winner in Cybercoin, there is a loser, which is why currencies must be stable. They must maintain the value stable, even. They should not fluctuate in value much, and that way it won't fluctuate in value in what it can buy. It's a hard concept to digest, with most investors thinking they will gladly take a Cybercoin for payment. However, would you pay one out? You'll take one because you think it's going to go up. But that means you won't pay one out, right? Because you'd be paying out a coin that you think would go up. A currency must remain stable, have the same value over a period of time, because it has to be a valid receipt of a product or service, and it has to represent that amount of a product or service over a long period of time. That is what a currency is that it is a receipt of a consistent value. Cybercoin is anything but price stable. Like the meme stocks, they're not price stable. Just look at its run-up, and most recently, its run-down. I can't say I am surprised in the least bit that Cybercoin is falling. I can't say it. Because of its roller coaster action, a few other things bother me about sinking thousands into Cybercoin. Elon Musk, the maverick founder of Tesla, appeared on Saturday Night Live and then 2 days later tweeted would no longer accept Bitcoin in the foreseeable future. And that hammered Bitcoin down 12%. I don't know about you, but I don't want oodles of my hard-earned money susceptible to obliteration when a single tweet or statement can crash it. The last 2 weeks, it has crashed almost in half. No thanks. As for being an indestructible cyberspace currency, no government can manipulate. Governments don't have to be able to get at it to eliminate it. All they have to do is outlaw its use or remove the apps that you trade on it. Bitcoin crashed 4% when the country of Turkey outlawed its use as payment. 4%. Turkey. Turkey is the size of a postage stamp. They're not the only ones. Following countries have in some form or another banned, restricted, or warned against Cybercoin usage. Kazakhstan, Bolivia, Bangladesh, Iran, Nepal, Thailand, India, Denmark, and Ecuador. I mentioned some of this on the last show, so I wanted to redo it because Bitcoin is still having its issues. The list is bound to grow larger as sovereign currencies. The checkbook of governments are threatened by the use of Cybercoin. Just think what would happen to the price if the U.S. or another major superpower took similar steps. Right? U.S. came out and said, sorry, can't trade it. Ouch. No thanks. Someday Cybercoin may find its rightful place among monetary instruments, but for now, it scares the hell out of me. We'll be right back with some closing commentary in 1 minute. Hang on. Okay, so watching the market so you don't have to. Welcome back to Money Matters. My name is Mark Cunabrady. You are listening to Money Matters show number 329, called More Rational Exuberance. So we'll see what happens. The market in itself has kind of been stalling out a little bit, kind of going up and then down, and been stuck in the 33,000, 34,000 Dow range. So we're having some stocks go up a lot and some stocks not go up so much, and then rotating out and rotating in. So it's been a tough market. I would imagine a lot of people haven't made a ton of money in the last 4 or 5 months for sure. But the general consensus is more money is to be spent by Washington, and so that's going to buoy up the markets, and the Feds will keep the interest rates low. At some point, every day we are getting closer to a correction, because markets always correct. So just like advisors can say the market always goes up over time, although I disagree with that statement being allowed to say that by regulators. We are usually allowed to say that. I will also say that corrections are coming. They're always coming because the market's always correct. So I can say that as well. How bad this market will correct? I don't have a real good feeling about that, you know. So as I say, make your funds while you can make your funds, and then just be careful, have some stops in place so you can get the heck out when things turn down. That's my opinion only as far as how to handle money in the stock market. And don't bite on the manias like my son is doing right now, biting on the MEMS mania. In any case, okay. So I want you to have a great day, and don't forget that the views and opinions expressed on this show are opinions only and do not necessarily reflect those of this station and staff members or underwriters. This show is not meant as investment advice in any way, shape, or form, or recommendation to buy or sell any security. I hold California Insurance License OL34249 and am a Medicare agent approved in the state of California. Our website is moneymanagementradio.com, where everything is free, our way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station. Have a great day, and go make some money.